Tigran Baibotsian knows how to scale a network service without fail using Rust MIO and a threat pool to go so fast all competitors pale.
Yeah, thanks for a great introduction, actually. I'm Tigran. For the past like 8 years, I've been doing system engineering, mostly helping companies to optimize their cloud environments and especially network-heavy applications. And you will be amazed how much you can save as a company just optimizing your network stack. And it's just saving a lot of your resources for cloud computing. So I'm typing many programming languages per day. It's 4 or 5. That's my daily work. And Rust is not the major one, but it's something that like I enjoy even doing like after work. And this project actually started the project like to feed my interest. And I'm doing a lot of motorcycling, adventure riding, and also skiing. That's a lot. Yeah, so a few words about Treescale. We're not going to dive into deep how it actually behaves. So in a few words, it's just a scalable pops-up system where you have the entire event distribution system without any central point and without any failure. It just routing for the events. First implementation was on Go, obviously, because it's just easy. It's easy to code. But after running it on a production with very heavy scale, it turns out that Go's garbage collection messing a lot with like memory deallocation and heavy traffic. Second implementation was on C++, but after having a weak working example on the production, we got a segfault error, and we even didn't make any debugging, so we just started to write on Rust because of the. Yeah. Yeah, at that time we had some experiments, but we thought, okay, maybe Rust is too early, but then we actually saw that it's a pretty mature language to use. And for our specific needs, we made on C++ the base loop library called base loop, which is actually almost the same thing as MIO, but with less features, the specific features that we needed for that time. And after we saw that MIO like completes all the features that we need, we just started writing on that. And actually writing to Rust, we convinced from MIO, because if Rust community didn't have that library, we wouldn't start doing Rust. And the base usage of MIO, here's actually the example code. It's very simplified. Basically what it does, it just makes event loop around the existing operating system epoll or k event based on the operating system, and it just registers specific sockets to receive events and make some data processing with them. Each single event, as you can see, there's a infinite loop which contains your entire logic, and it operates until your application is alive. So it's the base principle of event loop, and it's single-threaded. So if you can imagine the application which works with the event loop, it's something like this. You have the infinite loop which produces specific actions based on kernel events, then using a thread pool just to optimize your processes. You're using a thread pool and picking up some pool, some thread inside that pool to perform some action and return back to your event loop and continue doing your process. This is like the base for almost any kind of single-threaded application. But we actually faced some issues with this, especially performance issues, because first point of Treescale was to scale, then it should be like super heavy network application. So having working it on all CPUs without like a single thread, that's like pretty important part. And Rust helped us to develop a technique with MIO, which is looking something like this. Let me, this works. Okay, so which looks something like this. So basically, we have, instead of thread pool, we have threads, which is the same amount of threads as you have CPU cores. And each thread running single-threaded loop, which we called I/O loop, which means that we have a main thread which receives the connection, makes some authentication stuff, the first initial handshake, and then passes that socket to I/O loop, which then performs the specific I/O operation with its own action and task receiver mechanism inside that single thread. So this helps to handle a lot more connections that we could in a previous example, if when we have only one event loop. And in this use case, we specifically could interact through event I/O loop. If someone stuck on one task, the main loop detects that and catches that action and just performing that later on when other threads are freed up. So basically, we have some control system over multiple I/O loops. And this is mainly we got this performance because of the Rust thread saving, thread safety model. And this is like the entire process works completely non-blocking. So everything is written with the thread channels, which is pretty awesome performance in terms of real code execution. So here is like the example of the main main handler loop. Basically, it whenever you got some TCP socket through accept, or if it's a client socket, you're basically making some validation around I don't know, maybe certificate checking or the data validation, whenever you can perform that. And then basically what you are doing is using MIO principle, you are deregistering that TCP socket from current loop and passing that using the Rust channels to one of the threads that operating another loop. So that's the main principle for transferring. And after this transfer operation, this main handler loop don't know anything about that TCP socket. It goes away from him. And the other processing and input-output operations is just on that thread. So this is a little bit like more code, but the concept is that the I/O handler loop receives that and just registers that inside his poll, inside his event loop. So that way, we can just transfer connections between multiple event loops and have operational, like completely async principle without any blocking data. So that's the main benefits. And the optimizations, we had a customer which is operating like few petabytes of network data transfer, especially images. Per day, and they got like from 6 to 10 times optimization in terms of memory after deploying this this principle versus Go. So, and the main benefit from us is that using this technique, we are able to like scale the code because Rust itself is checking the safety. And if you are, for example, hiring a new developer, he don't know this threading model, and he writes some component around that, it just Rust prevents some memory leak between passing some data between channels and threads. And of course, using multiple cores as a multiple event loops, not only tasks, we got really huge benefits of network bandwidth because now we are able to make input-output more aggressively with using multiple threads. And yeah, that's it, the main benefit. So in terms of closures, this is the awesome thing that we have a lot in our code base. So the principle is that when we need to implement or execute some task, we are not passing data, and we are passing a closure which contains the logic itself with the data in it, which helps just to make some kind of a generic task executional threads or inside the thread pool, which is like generic, and you can pass any kind of operation which makes CPU execution or other stuff with the data itself in it. And it's just helped us a lot to scale the code base from like having multiple threads into multiple crates, even without like changing anything inside the base code. So this is the main feature that we liked a lot after like moving away to Rust. In terms of infrastructure, so we partially open source. So base technology itself, Treescale, is open source, but it's some kind of a demo. We mainly showing that to customers, or they're trying out on their own. But the base code is written in Rust, but supportive to technologies, I would say the API endpoint is not Rust, because mainly the lack of hiring, mainly. So that's the main issue of getting starting with Rust. Yeah, I guess that's it. So I prepared a very short talk. So yeah, and if you have any questions, please.
So we have time for questions, but we need to figure out how to start these. So. Test, test. Woo, it's the red button. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hello, thank you. I was wondering if I played with a zero MQ, and is it possible to do kind of the same thing of connecting a Rust application with a Python application, Node.js?
Yeah.
With it?
Yeah, so the communication protocol itself, the custom binary protocol, but we have like API integrations with high-level application, including the WebSockets. So one of our clients is using inside the mobile app. So basically, we compiled our Rust SDK inside the mobile app and providing them this real-time networking feature for their mobile app. So basically, it just integratable, and thanks to MIO, we can just integrate that to any kind of platform.
Some other questions. Thanks for the talk, actually. I have a question on the data. How much copying of the data is actually happening when you have a moving closures? I mean, do you have like multiple actions which should be executed on the same data?
Yeah, we have multiple actions, but data itself is not copying. We have basically the byte array. And every time when we are doing something, we are actually doing by reference to that array. And in terms of protocol, we are just appending like 60 bytes to that original data. And we are not doing any data manipulation to like customers' original data. Whenever you have some API endpoint and transferring data through Treescale, we are not touching that. We are only working with our 60 byte header, which is our main protocol stuff, and that header is all the time parsed and decoded using a byte reference without copying. So we are using some little pieces of unsafe code just to give that like manipulation more easily, because we have some big endian and little endian conversation between just to figure out the lengths of the bytes some in some places. But it's some that protocol came from C++ code, and we didn't change that. We just made the unsafe Rust code.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
You said you're using MIO.
Yeah.
Would it make sense in your case, or is it possible to use Socio?
So during that time when we started writing, the Tokyo wasn't that stable. I mean, it's not released yet. But then when it's released, we started to think about moving, but it was too much change, because the principle of features inside the Tokyo is not relevant for our case, because basically we are transferring TCP sockets between multiple threads, and actually inside the GitHub issues for MIO, I raised the question, is it really thread safe to pass a TCP connection between multiple threads? And Alex actually replied that generally no, but if you are using an in Linux-based environment or Unix, so basically it wouldn't work on Windows, but for Windows we don't making like thread TCP socket thread passing. We are using different technique. But we have only one customer, which requires a Windows, so it's not a deal.
Okay. There was another question over there.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you are taking the existing over here.
Okay.
the existing messages that you receive and appending or prepending some stuff at the beginning.
Yeah.
How do you make sure that you have room to do that? Or are these like fixed length headers? Are they dynamic? And how do you make sure that when you actually read the data in, there's enough room before the data that you're getting in order to place your headers?
Yeah, so if you can imagine the byte flow, we're basically getting your data and making sure that we have a proper length because of the like nature of TCP. We know that if data flow ends with some specific point, then your data, that's how it is. So we're basically measuring the length of bytes and putting that with the big endian that you have this amount of length. It's a 4-byte integer for us. So basically, whenever our another node reading your data, it tries to find first 4 bytes to decode and understand how many length he needs to accept from another node. So that's how we transferring data and making sure that there is no data loss. We're basically transferring the length as the first 4 bytes.
Do you plan any U integration from the talk before? So for web?
No, so we have one customer with web integration, but we provided for them web sockets. I guess with WebAssembly, it's really complicated because not all production browsers right now supporting, and not all customers want to see hacky WebAssembly right now, because generally it's not in production. So most of the like companies don't want to see that on their environment. That's from my experience, because we tried also experiment on that way. Yeah, thank you, and enjoy your lunch.